It's been a fun week for the New York Yankees. A little bit of a schedule change, but they were able to take down two of their division foes. We're going to talk all about it and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Tug Podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and we are thankful you are joining us once again so we could talk some Yankees baseball with you. The Yankees are on a roll. It is fantastic to watch. We are having such a great time watching this team play. They have won 7 of their first 8 games to start the regular season. They have won 6 in a row. It has been a lot of fun watching this team, and we're going to break down the last 2 series for you that the Bronx Bombers have played. As you all know, a 60-game schedule, it's a part where you have to win every game. Every game matters, and this team has come out of the gate, and they have that feel that they're not going to let anybody get in their way, and it's a really nice feeling to know that every time they take the field, there's a very good chance they're going to win that ball game. And like I mentioned in the little opener, they had a little bit of a schedule change due to the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies were in quarantine. So we got a little bit of a taste of the Baltimore Orioles in a quick little 2-game set to kind of mix and match with the schedule. You're going to see a lot of that early on and throughout the year, because if a team gets quarantined or a team is impacted by the virus, you're going to see Major League Baseball cancel their games and try to look for ways to keep the other teams active and playing. And then we had a weekend series with the Boston Red Sox that I have to admit was a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to be part of. Now, before we get into all that action, I want to remind you, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast is available on any podcasting platform for you. Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, you name it, our show is there available for you. We hope that you take the time out to not only listen to our podcast, but to also subscribe and review it as well. All the subscribes and reviews definitely help us out. We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts if you already done it. If you haven't done so already, we suggest that you take some time as soon as possible to get that done for us. And again, if you want to help support our brand, help support the Delahanty Media brand, help support Pinstripe Talk, or heck, even the Let's Debate podcast, which is also hosted by the Delahanty Media platform, go to our Teespring account to order some gear. Really nice gear for you to help us spread the word about our shows. And again, proceeds that we raise from that help go toward our funding for the show. So anything is definitely appreciated on that end as well. Now, as we get into the action that we have to catch up from last week's show, it's important to remember, and like I said a couple of minutes earlier, the Yankees ended up playing the Baltimore Orioles in a 2-game set at Camden Yards due to the fact that the Phillies were unable to play. The Yankees will make up that series with the Phillies. They're actually going to play the Phillies this week. They start the week off with that team and with Joe Girardi. So it'll be interesting to see that. But as we know from the past, the Yankees have had their way with the Baltimore Orioles. So going into this series, the confidence had to be very high. And of course, anytime this guy takes the mound, you're going to be confident that you're going to win the game. And that's Gerrit Cole. Cole making his second start as a Yankee. If you would have told me at the time, or before the season started, that Cole would end up pitching 2 of the Yankees' first 4 games, I would have probably laughed at you. But with the schedule and everything happening, the days off just mapped out to the point where Cole was able to make his second start in a relatively quick fashion. And it was good. You know, the Yankees ended up winning the first ball game in Baltimore. And Cole looked good. He went 6 2/3, only allowed 3 runs. He was really hurt by a long ball in the 7th inning. And that really kind of tainted the box line in a way, or his line from the game. But again, he did what an ace does and got the job done. He wasn't able to finish the 7th, but Avilon comes in, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, because with some recent developments, he might have a more prominent role in this Yankee bullpen moving forward. He ended up finishing that seventh inning for Cole. And then Green comes in. He throws a shutdown inning. And then Kresge comes in making his debut. And he goes an inning, doesn't let up a run. Yankees go on to win 9-3. The important factor of this game, the Yankees were up before they even recorded an out. DJ LeMahieu got the party started right away with a solo home run off the foul pole in right field. His first of the year. He ended up having 4 hits in the ballgame. Unbelievable performance from him. Aaron Hicks added a home run later. And Aaron Judge is going to be a common factor in this podcast. He blasts a home run in this ballgame as well. The Yankees clicking on all cylinders, scored 9 runs. A lot of the production came from the top half of the order. So you had to like what you see. The Yankees get off to a good start in Baltimore. And it was one of those games where, and you hate to say it this way because you know how good this team is, but considering the shift in the schedule, some teams would have trouble making that shift and that focus. And you're going into a team's ballpark that you don't think is very good. You might take them lax or you might not take it as seriously. But in game one, the Yankees came out and they really performed well. And they came out and it was kind of like a first place battle for them. You know, right out of the gate, they were ready to roll. And this team is just something different. And that's a common trend that we're going to see throughout the show. They just find ways to put up runs and be productive and win ball games. It's just pleasant to see. And to get that first win in Baltimore, especially after the whole situation with the Phillies and the drama with that and Major League Baseball with the COVID-19 virus, it was definitely a great start to the week from where we left off. Now, game two was a little bit more of an ordeal. And by an ordeal, I mean, you know, there was a little bit more to be said about this ball game. Okay, so the Yankees get a lead right away. They're up 5-0. They get an RBI single from Stanton. Then with the bases loaded, Luke Voit comes up and he hits a home run, a grand slam. And before they even take the field, they're up 5-0. And you're thinking, man, they're gonna blow this team out tonight. It's gonna be. Then Jay Happ happens, and Happ lets up 4 runs through the first 2 innings, and it's kind of an ugly situation, not going to lie, and it wasn't very pretty. So Ottavino comes in, he pitches the 5th inning, and rain's coming, rain's on the way. So now you're sitting there and we're thinking, it's an official game, they're going to can this, it's over, whatever. But after a long rain delay, around 10:30 on the East Coast, the Yankees come back, and they're playing this ball game to completion, and Jonathan Loaisiga comes in to be the long type of reliever here, because obviously after a long rain delay and after Ottavino just threw another inning, you're not going to bring him out for a second inning. So Loaisiga has 2 really good innings right away. He looked sharp. He had solid stuff. He reminds me a lot of a Dellin Betances type in terms of his electric stuff, not body or anything like that, but the way that he can go about his business, I think he's more of a Betances type. I think he's more of a one-inning relief type player down the road. But he goes out, and he throws 2 innings. And at this point, the Yankees have the lead. The Yankees are holding on to that 5-4 lead. They didn't score a lick from the second inning on. So you're going into the bottom half of the 8th inning. And after Loaisiga throws 2 innings, what are you thinking as a fan? And my thought process was, okay, Loaisiga did a great job. He gave 2 strong innings, and that's what the Yankees needed him to do. They're going to go right to Tommy Canley in the 8th, and they're going to go to Britton in the 9th, and that's how they're going to operate. Because let's remember, no Chapman. He's still not fully returned from COVID. So, bottom half of the 8th, and Loaisiga comes out to start the inning. Now, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we're stretching him a little too much. Maybe this is not the right idea. Maybe we should go another direction. And Severino hits a home run, and that gives the Orioles a 6-5 lead. Now, in normal baseball world, in normal situations, teams might panic that, you know, we're down a run. This is it. This is over. Was I upset with Boone? Yeah, I don't think he manages the bullpen very well, but that's another story to be said another day. So still with these questions about Canley and why he didn't come in for that ball game, we head into the top of the ninth. And here's where the reoccurring theme that I mentioned earlier is going to come into play. So with two on, and they have an opportunity to take the lead, Aaron Judge comes up to the plate. And what does Aaron Judge do? Aaron Judge hits a home run. Yeah, had three strikeouts in a ball game. His only hit of the game was that home run. But Judge comes up in the clutch. And let's remember, Gleyber Torres left this game because he was hitting the elbow with a first inning fastball, and Tyler Wade was on deck. So with guys on base and Judge up at the plate, I thought they were going to walk him, load the bases, and force Aaron Boone to go to the bench, possibly a Mike Ford or somebody like that, because obviously you don't want Wade up with the game on the line. No offense to Wade, but that's not the hitter you want. If you need a base runner, oh, Wade's your guy, but offense hasn't been his strong point in the major leagues. But Judge comes through, and Judge comes up clutch. And the guy's home runs, it seems like they give the Yankees the lead every time he hits a home run, or they tie the game. It's incredible what this guy's been able to do. So Judge bails the Yankees out in the top of the ninth, and Aaron Boone, they go on to win the game. Britton comes on to close it. It was relatively easy, nice and easy, lemon squeezy, and that ball game was over. Now, after the game, Aaron Boone was asked about why Canley wasn't inserted into the game for the eighth inning. And Boone said, okay, we'll have more about that tomorrow. Now, right away, I had two thoughts in my mind about this situation. Number one, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Tommy Canley has COVID-19. I hope that's not the case. I hope he's not ill because, first of all, you don't want anybody to get the virus. If you want anybody to get the virus, you're a sick human being. But that was my first thought. And then my other thought about that was, if he has COVID, how is it going to impact the rest of the squad? And, you know, that's a scary thing to think about. And then the other thing you have to also consider is there something wrong with Tommy Canley in terms of injury? We didn't see him since Sunday when he pitched against the Nationals, struck out the side, looked electric. What's going on with Canley? Well, Canley needs Tommy John surgery. And that's a big blow. And I want to just take a second to talk about Canley because when the Yankees made the trade to get David Robertson and Todd Frazier, Canley was seen as more of a, I don't want to say a throw-in, but an additional piece in that trade. And little did we know at the time, and little did I know at the time, Canley was going to become one of my favorite Yankees to watch. He has just been unbelievable to this franchise, and he's such a good clubhouse guy. He's always in a good mood. He's laughing. He's keeping it loose. And it's such a valuable tool when you have a guy that has such a great ability on the mound, but is even a better person. And I hope that he recovers well from this because, let's face it, Canley's in a walk year as well. And who knows if he'll even return to the Yankees, because at this point, you have to consider that a year in, he's going to have to rehab, and he might not be on a big league mound for a very long time, maybe toward the end of next season, if that. So I wish the best to Tommy Canley. I hope this isn't the end of his tenure with the Yankees. But if it is, I think that Yankee fans need to appreciate what this guy has done because he has been a very, very valuable piece to the Yankees bullpen over the last couple of years and has been a very valuable piece to their clubhouse chemistry and the daily grind of a baseball season. You need guys like Tommy Canley. So losing him definitely hurts, but luckily for the Yankees, they have a lot of depth in the bullpen. As long as everybody stays healthy, they'll be okay. And let's remember, shortened spring training right into a season, it's going to be hard for guys, especially pitchers, to avoid injuries. So this is a domino for the Yankees. This is something that they didn't envision. This is something that they definitely didn't want. But overall, they're going to have to make do, and they're going to have to figure out a way to map out the innings that Canley would have gotten. Maybe Loaisca, maybe a Luis Avalon, who the Yankees seem to be high on. A lot of people don't realize that dude has been a valuable reliever in the big leagues for a while now. He's not just some no-name. You know, you look at Mike King. You look at Kreske, Nick Nelson. We're going to talk about that kid in a few minutes, too. He was nasty in his debut. So there's a lot of options, but the story has to remain the same. You wish the best for Tommy Canley moving forward. So now that we broke down the beatdown of the Orioles over a two-day stretch, let's get into the Boston series, shall we? And the Yankees, They have a big series against the Boston Red Sox over the weekend, a three-game set at Yankee Stadium. It marked the home opener for the Bronx Bombers in 2020. Now, there's a couple of things that need to be addressed here. Number one, regardless of how good or bad both teams are, the rivalry is still always there. So the Red Sox, as we know, are on a down year. They are struggling. They have no starting pitching. None whatsoever. And they are in a rebuild. We know they traded Mookie Betts over the offseason, and now they're in that place where they're trying to restart. And they have two really nice pieces on the left side of their infield. I have to give credit where credit's due, Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. They are both annoying to deal with as an opposing fan. In Game 3, as we'll talk about, I was tweeting for them not to even pitch to either one. That's how good they've been. Devers, you have to give him credit for a guy who a lot of people wrote off as somebody who wasn't going to be good defensively. He's really taking strides to be better. And Bogaerts is one of the most underrated shortstops in the game. They have a really nice left side of the infield that they could keep that intact for years to come. Bogaerts is under contract. Devers still a young pup, but it's going to be fun to watch them for years to come in the rivalry. And in Game 1, it was fun. The Yankees had their home opener. They did all the home opener festivities. It was weird without fans. You saw the virtual fans over the weekend, which was really weird. But at the end of the day, it was a home opener. You know, we've been waiting so long to see the Yankees play an actual game at Yankee Stadium. And we finally got that. It stinks that we all couldn't be there, but they're playing baseball, which is the thing that matters. And we have to talk about this because I think this was the best part of the home opener ceremony. When Gerrit Cole was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he had a conversation with Susan Waldman, who was the Yankees WFAN broadcaster, with John Sterling. And Waldman told Cole that he would be a great Yankee one day. And I don't know how it transpired, but they agreed that when Cole becomes a Yankee, Susan Waldman, who was once on Broadway, would end up singing the national anthem on opening day. Well, Susan lived up to the hype, and Susan lived up to the promise she made to Gerrit Cole and sung the national anthem. And boy, was it a great performance. She killed it. Absolutely killed it. Listen, I was down the shore. I was living the beach life. But I had to tune in for that specific reason. That was the reason why I had the home opener ceremony on. I wanted to see Susan rock it, and she did. Credit to her, not only for keeping the promise, but for doing such a great job. And Gerrit Cole really appreciated it. You could see the connection between the two. It was just awesome to see, especially given that Cole was enjoying or embracing his first opening day as a Yankee, and it stinks that he couldn't get the ovation that he'll eventually get when the Bronx sees him pitch live, but it was nice to have that moment for him. And the opener marked the return of Gumby. Jordan Montgomery is back. And boy, did he impress. He went into the sixth inning, looked really good, only allowed one run through 80 pitches. He did what the Yankees needed him to do. They turned the ball over to Green for two, then Ottavino to get a batter out, and then Holder to finish it off. So they got the job done. The pitching held up in a 5-1 victory. Not much needed there, but the Yankees did it again with the long ball. Judge, for the third straight day, hit a home run. He hit one off of Weber in the third. Then Urshela, the happy fella. Who doesn't love this dude? He hit a home run. And Brett Gardner, who has been in a terrible slump, hit one into the second deck at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees are hopeful that one swing gets Gardner going. In that game, you saw him take two walks too, which shows that he's not jumping at pitches. He's not anxious at the plate. So that is a good sign. But in all, the long ball prevails. Yankees go on to win. And again, it's a nice start to a series where the Yankees should win based on, if you look at the two talents and where the two teams are going, it's a situation that if you're the Yankees, you're taking that game 9 out of 10 times. You're saying, man, I got to win that ball game. So let's jump right into Game 2, shall we? And we saw the return of Masahiro Tanaka. It's like a return week. It's like a homecoming for the Yankees. Tanaka, who a month earlier got hit in the head by a 112-mile-per-hour line drive off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton, was back on the mound, and it was great to see him there. You know, if that was me, I would probably lock myself in my room or in somewhere where I couldn't get hurt because I would be afraid for my life. But Tanaka, a grinder, a gamer. He wanted to be back on this mound. He loves this team. He was ready to go. And he put inserts in his hat that will help protect his head, which is very smart. I do like that. I think it's a bright idea. But Tanaka didn't last long in this game. And we didn't know going in that he had a pitch limit. So his 50th pitch ended up being his last. He ended up going into the third inning, but couldn't get out of it. So now you're saying to yourself, is Tanaka hurt? What are the Yankees not telling us? This is not very good. But it was just precaution because Tanaka was not built up in terms of pitch count. And that's okay. We got him back on the mound, and over time he's going to progress in pitch count. So at least we know he's not hurt. You could see by the third inning he was starting to wear down. He was starting to get a little tired. So it was a right move to go to the pen. And the pen is really what deserves a lot of credit in this ballgame. Tanaka let up two runs before departing. Luis Avalon comes in. He goes an inning in the third. Doesn't allow a run. Nick Nelson, in his major league debut, goes three innings. He picks up the win in his major league debut. He didn't let up a hit. People, he didn't let up a hit. This kid didn't even make the opening day roster. That's how much depth the Yankees pitching has. They have so many young arms that could come in and just dominate and get guys out. It's crazy. Nelson did walk two guys, but he didn't let up a hit. Struck out four in the process. That's huge for the Yankees, especially given that Tanaka didn't have the pitch count to go deep into this ballgame. They needed somebody to come in and give them length. And that's what Nick Nelson did. He goes on to get the win. And then, in a three-run ballgame, David Hale, not Zach Britton, not Adam Ottavino, not Chad Green, David Hale comes in for the save. He goes two innings. He let up a couple of hits, walked the guy, but he didn't let up any runs, picked up the save. A rare two-inning save. So the Yankees don't use their big guys in the bullpen, but show, you know, we are top-heavy bullpen. We have guys at that back end that really could dominate, but the guys at the lower half of the bullpen are just as good. They could get outs too. And when asked after the game why Britton wasn't used, Boone cited load management, given that he's been up and down in the bullpen and been used whatsoever, but which is understandable given that they just lost Canley for the year. So it's impressive to see that they could go to anybody in that pen and they can get outs. I'm sure the Red Sox would love to have some of these arms that the Yankees possess because they can't get guys to get outs. Godley threw three and a third, let up five runs. The bullpen had to come in and stop the bleeding. So, again, great job by the Yankees bullpen. And guys not named Green, Otto, or Britton really did a nice job here. And the Yankees did it with the long ball again. Judge, for the fourth straight day, hit a home run. This guy is on a tear. And then you got a Gio Urshela grand slam in this one, too. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. I love this kid, if you don't know already. I absolutely love him. Kid's been unbelievable. They got to keep him in the lineup every single day. It's a beautiful thing seeing him hit the ball like he's been. And playing defense the way he does because, man, that kid can field. So that's game two. Another exciting game for the Yankees. And you're sitting there and you're like, why are they not going to the top guys in the bullpen? But never a doubt, they found a way to get the job done and still pick up the win without using those guys. And that takes us to Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees and Red Sox. What better way to spend a Sunday night than watching the Yankees and Red Sox battle it out on ESPN? And it was your typical Yankees-Red Sox kind of bruising, you know, lot of offense type of game. And after a really, really bad first start, James Paxton returns to the mound, and everybody had their fingers crossed that the left-hander would figure it out. He's a very valuable and important piece to this team, and they need him to figure it out. But on this day, Paxton did not have it. Last only three innings, allowed five runs, three of which were earned. And I sit here and I hold my head because two of the runs were not earned due to the fact that Miguel Andujar missed a ground ball in left field. Just a day after Mike Tauchman had three hits, And just 2 days after Gardner hit a home run, kind of figuring it out, neither one was in the lineup for Sunday night's contest, and it was kind of a head-scratcher to me. I would have gave Tauchman a start, but we're going to get into Tauchman a little bit later because he does play a big role in this game, even though he doesn't start it. But back to Paxton. There's something wrong with this dude. I don't know what the Yankees are hiding with this dude. He's gone from throwing 96 and at times hitting 100 on the radar gun to not even hitting 92, 93. Is his back still bothering him? Is there something wrong mechanically? You know, they have to figure this out. They can't keep throwing this guy out there every fifth day and hoping it's going to work, because if the velocity's not there, he's throwing batting practice. And yeah, he didn't get help in the field. Aaron Hicks was afraid of the wall. There was a good reference on Twitter that it was the Bobby Abreu effect. Afraid of the wall. He should have caught that fly ball. Would have got him out of the inning. And it's a whole different ball game. And the Andujar ground ball, God only knows how you missed that ball. I have little leaguers that make that play. But you're sitting there and you're like, what is wrong with this dude? He's throwing BP. He's not the same guy. Is the back still bothering him? They need to figure this out. And in the meantime, until they figure it out, replace him in the rotation. Figure it out. Let Mike King get a start. Bring up Clark Schmidt. IL Paxton, figure it out. Give him more time to rehab and figure out what's wrong, whether his back's out or mechanically he's just unsound. You don't drop 4 miles per hour and there's nothing wrong. So they got to figure this out. And you keep running him out there, it's killing the bullpen. As your season goes on, it's okay now. They've been pretty fresh in terms of arms, but later on, they're going to need length out of their starters. They're not getting that right now. So they got to figure that out. That's a big question mark for them. So Paxton, man, I love this guy. I think when he's dominant. But in a contract year for him, this is a bad time to have these struggles because it's really hurting his value on the open market. And the guy likes pitching in New York, and it doesn't seem like the pressure gets to him. I just think he's hurt. I think there's something physically wrong with him because when the guy's on, the guy throws, he's nasty. He's got nasty stuff, but he's clearly not right. So the Yankees have to play a little bit of catch-up here, and this game was literally catch-up. They were down 2-0 after one. Bottom half of the second, they come back, and Aaron Judge hits another home run. He ties Alex Rodriguez. Well, actually, he's the first Yankee to homer in 5 straight games since Alex Rodriguez in 2007, which was fitting because Rodriguez was in the booth with Matt Vasgersian for ESPN. And if you're watching on TV, you can understand what's going on because obviously it's in front of you. But if you're like me and you were driving home and you have it on the radio, for the most part, you have no idea what's going on unless you really focus in. Really tough to follow and really tough to really analyze a game, but I was able to keep up and use Twitter to see some of the highlights, so it was good. I was able to make do, so don't worry about me. Now, they go up 3-2, and right away, Paxton gives up the lead. The Red Sox come back with another 3 runs of their own, and this was the game where Bogaerts and Devers really killed him. Devers had 2 hits. He hits a home run later in the ball game, and then you have Bogaerts, man. 4-for-4, 3 runs scored. He hit 2 home runs in this ball game. Just unbelievable. Like I said before, they're set on the left side of the infield for as long as they want to be. These kids are good. They have a bright future ahead of them. So now the Yankees are playing catch-up throughout the entire game. It's back and forth. We mentioned Judge's homer. First homer of the day. Luke Voit hits one in the 5th inning. That was like a rocket. Man, that thing was... He hit a line drive. That thing... That was just crazy to watch. I didn't think it was a home run. I thought it was going to go foul the way he hit it. But that thing just shot out of Yankee Stadium into left field. That was impressive, if you ask me. Then you go into the 7th. Devers hits that home run. The Yankees are trailing at this point. They're down 7-6. But you can check my Twitter account. Never a doubt. I said it. They have too many at-bats against this Red Sox pitching to lose this ballgame. The Red Sox pitching cannot hold them. And what happened? They didn't hold them. Let's jump right into the 8th inning, shall we? Mike Tauchman comes in as a defensive replacement for Miguel Andujar. Andujar's not hitting anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But Tauchman comes up. He works a really, and I mean really, nice walk to get somebody on base. He ends up stealing second base to put the run in scoring position, and DJ LeMahieu, the machine, comes up with an RBI single. They tie the ball game. The pressure is now off. The game is tied. Judge comes up to the plate. And what does Judge do? Judge hits a mammoth, I mean mammoth, home run. That gives the Yankees the lead. They would not relish. Britton comes in to close it out in the ninth. Yankees win. Yankees sweep. Yankees move on to 7-1 on the year. The best record in Major League Baseball as they head into the week. It is impressive to watch. It is exciting to watch. This team has been in every single game. When you watch them, you just feel like they don't have a chance to lose. They're that good right now. And, you know, that's a little bit of a, I hate to say it, like a lot of cockiness. But in the same token, they're just playing lights out baseball. And until somebody tries to slow them down, it's going to be a tough thing to swallow for opposing teams. And I wouldn't want to see them on my schedule. I really wouldn't. The way they're playing. And the playoffs are a formality for this team. Unless something drastic happens and they decide to utterly collapse, this team is going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of where they see it. And right now, you have to figure, they're going to battle for that number one spot in the American League. You can honestly and confidently say that because of what they've shown early on. They're locked in. They look healthy, knock on wood. Hopefully they stay healthy. And they're at that place where it just seems like they're on a mission. And if you listen to Judge after the ballgame, Judge is like, I'm not even locked in yet. So imagine when this guy is actually locked in. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see that. But it's exciting to watch, and it's hard not to get your hopes up because there's still a worry about the season being able to get done. There's still a worry about injuries and health and the pitching staff. But at the end of the day, this team is playing lights out, so let's enjoy it while we can. Before we look at some notable guys, I want to take a look at this week's schedule. The Yankees will play the Phillies for two at Yankee Stadium. Those are makeups from July 29th and July 30th. Then they're going to go to Philly for two games, August 5th and 6th. And then they're going to play four games in 3 days against Tampa from the 7th to the 9th. The 8th, a Saturday, will be a doubleheader. That will be 2 7-inning games. That will be interesting to see. They might be getting the Rays at a good time considering they're struggling. They just got swept by the Orioles, so that will be a good time to get them. And then they have an off day. They'll go to Atlanta. They'll have Atlanta at the stadium, actually, for two before meeting up with the Red Sox for four and the Rays for three. So a big stretch. Nothing is set in stone at this point, but this team looks really good right now. And like I said, it's very exciting. Some notable guys to talk about, though. DJ LeMahieu doing DJ LeMahieu things. Had a five-game hitting streak that was snapped during the Red Sox series, but he bounced back with two hits in the finale. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's hitting 320, a quiet 320. He started off the year very hot, and then he kind of calmed down a little bit, but still, G's hitting the ball hard, man. Unbelievably hard. He's been awesome. He looks healthy. Hopefully the Yankees keep him at DH. Don't put him in the field. Let him DH for the rest of his life the way he's hitting. I have no problem with that. Judge has been a monster. Home runs every single night. He's only three shy of the team record for consecutive games homered in, and that is held by the captain, Don Mattingly. Can he break it? Only time will tell. And the other notable is Gio Urshela. Got to give him a lot of credit, hitting really well. 308 early on in the year. He's doing it both with the glove and the bat. He had three hits in that series finale against the Red Sox. So you credit him. He's been really forcing Miguel Andujar out of the lineup because he's really claiming his spot at third base. And then some other notables who have been slumping. Gleyber Torres, man, it seems like he's pressing a little at the plate. Maybe it's the three-hole. Maybe it's the transition to shortstop. Who knows? Hopefully Gleyber gets it going soon because he's an important piece of his team. Aaron Hicks struggling at the plate, struggling defensively. Honestly, if I'm the Yankees, I give more playing time to Talkman. I split him between Gardner and Hicks. The way that they're both hitting, Gardner's been struggling as well. I wouldn't have any issue in a shortened season going Talkman and giving him a lot more playing time out there. The way he's been a vital part of this team. And he's an everyday outfielder, in my opinion. Luke Voigt's been picking it up. I know I was one that said Luke's got to start swinging the bat, but he's been better as of late. Hit the home run in the series finale and seems to be getting back on track a little bit. Gary Sanchez is lost. August Gary has been activated. He's had a couple of hits in August, so hopefully he figures it out because he's valuable as well. Got to give him credit. He's been a lot better behind the plate. And, you know, if they could all get going at the same time, this lineup is going to be very, very, very scary. Now, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. This has been a really fun one. I was really excited to do this show because I've been loving watching this team play, and I hope that it continues. Baseball's a long grind, and even in a 60-game slate, you're going to have your ups and downs. But for the time being, let's enjoy it. Let's embrace it. If you're not enjoying it and you're a Yankee fan, you need to reevaluate. This has been fun. Nothing is set in stone. We're early in the season. We have to pray for health, especially with regards to the COVID-19 virus all around the league. And we have to hope that the production stays. And let's hope that the pitching staff can figure it out a little bit other than Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole makes his debut in the Bronx in a real game this week. This is fantastic, people. It's really happening. Now, as always, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast, the podcast available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, our show is there available for you. If you love listening to us talk about the Yankees, listen to me talk about all sports on the Let's Debate podcast every Thursday night on our Facebook page. Search up Let's Debate podcast. Listen to that. Myself and my cousin Kyle Delahanty break down anything and everything going on in the world of sports. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing the show. We hope that you take some time to listen in. Now, until our next show, and I'm anticipating that it will be Monday because obviously we've been doing this once a week deal. We hope that you stay healthy. We hope that you continue to enjoy watching the Yankees. And if needed, we'll be putting out new content for you. We'll try to aim to put out new content for you as quickly as possible. But as always, we thank you for tuning in and taking time out of your busy schedules to support our show and our brand. As always, I'm Nick Delahanty. Remember, let's go Yankees. This is fun times in the Bronx. I just wish that we could be there. Until next time, this has been the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you really soon.